Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today we meet the Irish trauma surgeon providing training to his medical counterparts in Ukraine. Striking Britain, the British government is short on cash to solve a workforce determined to win pay rises. So how will it be solved? After a day of drama in US politics, Marion McKeown joins us here in the studio for her take on the Republican failure to elect a speaker. Looking back 100 years to the Ireland of 1923, Professor Diarmaid Farrater on Ireland just after the Civil War, the RTE Concert Orchestra takes on Mickey Mouse and Friends as they pay tribute to 100 years of iconic cartoons. Also, he pushed me into the dog bowl and broke my necklace, what Prince Harry is expected to claim about a fight with Prince William in his new book. Text us this morning, 51551. Email todaycb@rte.ie or on Twitter, we're at Today with Claire. Now, as schools and childcare facilities reopen around the country today, parents have been urged to keep children at home if they have any flu-like symptoms. The Chief Medical Officer, Breda Smith, issued that warning to parents in a bid to stem the surge of flu, COVID, RSV and other illnesses. In a moment, I'll speak to two school principals, but first I'm joined on the line by Professor Paddy Mallon, Professor of Microbial Diseases in the UCD School of Medicine and Consultant in Infectious Diseases at St Vincent's University Hospital in Dublin. Good morning to you, Professor Mallon. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
So we've been hearing over the last while an awful lot about flu and COVID and RSV causing problems in our hospitals. What are you seeing?
Well, certainly, I work at St. Vincent's Hospital, and you're working in a healthcare that works regularly at a capacity at or exceeding 100%, so it doesn't take too much in the way of additional disease burden within the community to tip the system over, as it were. So really what we're seeing at the minute is the biggest impact probably coming from the waves of influenza A infections that are sweeping through the country at the minute. And the biggest increase in admissions, I think, in the last week or two have really been in people presenting with chest infections or with symptoms of flu A. But that's putting a big burden on an already overburdened system.
And what about COVID?
I don't get the sense from either the hospital that I work in or talking to colleagues around the country that we're seeing a big uptick in people presenting to hospital with COVID pneumonia. So this is certainly not what I would call a wave of COVID-19. Having said that, it's in the background, and there certainly are increases in detections. And what that does in a hospital setting is, even if people don't have COVID pneumonia, it puts more stress on the hospital system because we have to isolate these patients to stop further spread of infections within the hospital. So it makes logistically working in the hospital more difficult and further stress on the system from that way.
I mentioned the CMO advice to parents in particular, keep your child at home. Breda Smith saying if they have any new flu-like symptoms, they shouldn't be sent into a childcare facility or a school. Is that common sense? Is it the best advice?
I mean, I can't see a reason why a parent would send a sick kid to school, especially given what we know that we're in the middle of a flu season and a flu A season. Flu A tends to be much more severe, and it does cause significant morbidity and a lot of mortality every time we get a bad flu season. So I think if you're sending kids into school with symptoms of flu, you're really adding to the problem rather than doing anything to alleviate it.
Is it adding to the problem as well that we're not all wearing masks now?
I think masks make sense. You know, we are living in a new society, as it were. You know, we are post-COVID, and at the moment we're seeing the stresses on society from three circulating respiratory viruses, influenza A. We're just coming off the back end of a bad RSV season that probably lasted a week or two longer than we'd normally see. And we've got COVID just sitting in the background. Anything that we can do to try and reduce transmission is good. And, you know, there are current recommendations that people should be wearing masks on public transport if they're visiting vulnerable people or within healthcare settings. And we probably all need to do our bit to improve our mask wearing alongside the current recommendations, because all of these little things, they do help. They're not going to be a solution by themselves. But, you know, everybody can contribute to trying to take pressure off the system.
Yeah, there have been calls from some to have mandatory mask wearing reintroduced. Would you support that?
So I think there's a difference between a recommendation and putting a mandate in place. Once you put a mandate in place, there's a lot of issues with regards to enforcing that. And then you've got to say to yourself, OK, with all of the issues that that creates with regards to the public confidence and with regards to the resources that need to be put in place for that. What is the benefit? And for a mask mandate to work, it's what we call a non-pharmaceutical intervention. It would need to be pretty widespread. It would need very high levels of adherence, and it would need to be in place for a number of weeks. And to be honest with you, what we're seeing at the minute is a flu season. The flu season is probably, the bulk of this is probably going to be past us within the next 3 to 4 weeks. So if you were to put a mask mandate in place now across the country and all of the burdens that would come with that, you've really got to ask yourself the question, well, what is going to be the outcome from that? And to be honest with you, by the time the effect of the mask mandate kicks in, the worst of the flu season will probably already be past. So I'm not really sure that I get the rationale, the scientific rationale behind a mask mandate. I think it would be much better if people just put a bit more effort into following the current public health advice, which is pretty clear around mask use in public transport, vulnerable people in a healthcare setting.
But everybody would need to do that in those settings for the recommendations to have any effect.
So masks have an effect from a personal perspective, and I think that everybody needs to look at this from a personal perspective, but also from a societal perspective. Do you want to be putting more vulnerable people at risk? Mandating that, if we start mandating that, it's a much more different conversation than a recommendation. And a mandate and what comes along with a mandate needs to be put into perspective about what impact it's going to have. So, for example, if you're going to mandate masks in public transport but not mandate them in the workplace or not mandate them in pubs and restaurants or other crowded settings, then you've got to ask yourself, well, what does a selective mandate, what is it going to do to the overall burden of disease?
Yes.
And is it worth it? And that's the question that needs to be answered. And I think the conversation, people probably feel as if something's being done if they introduce a mandate. Just because you feel better that something's being done doesn't mean that it's going to have a significant impact on the trajectory of disease.
Fair enough. Listen, working in a hospital which, as you said, operates at almost 100% capacity, probably at 100% right now, how did you feel about the Minister for Health saying consultants should work longer and work weekends?
So I can only speak for the hospital that I work in, but you know, currently within St. Vincent's Hospital, we would have medical and surgical consultant cover on site. I know medically that we provide an evening ward round and an early morning ward round every day, 365 days a year, Christmas Day, New Year's Day, bank holiday. So I don't know that it would have a huge impact on the hospital I work in, but the hospital I work in is relatively well staffed from a medical consultant perspective. I know that there are hospitals around the country that may not be in the same position. Not all hospitals around the country may be able to provide that service. So certainly if it certainly makes sense from the hospital I work in that there are senior decision makers on site twice a day to facilitate that. I'm not sure what more we can do, but certainly other hospitals around the country, if they aren't in a position to do that, then assistance should be given for them to be able to provide that level of cover.
Do you understand why there was some frustration amongst your colleagues when the minister said that?
There's frustration right across the system at a number of levels. And as I said earlier, there's what we're looking at is a system. We're living in a society at the moment where the unacceptable has become tolerated. I think it's been the exception rather than the norm that I would walk into our emergency department and not see trolleys. And we've seen discussions happening over probably the last decade or more where this has been discussed as unacceptable within government, but what we have to do is translate what is unacceptable into something that does not occur, and at the moment that hasn't happened for a number of years. Really what we're doing is we're living in a society where we have a fragile health service, and while we have a fragile health service, that remains a critical risk to the country at large, because if you have a fragile health service and you can't provide healthcare, it's going to have an impact on society in general and on the economy. Okay. So this is really an all-of-government problem that does need to be addressed.
Paddy, just before I let you go, I know that you're involved in a vaccine trial that you want to mention. Just tell me a little bit about that.
So there's been a lot of discussion around booster vaccines, especially for COVID-19, and the uptake of booster vaccines it's arguably been a bit lower than what's been expected, both in Ireland but right across Europe. One of the issues is that people are uncertain as to whether they actually need a vaccine or not, or they need a booster vaccine. And what we don't know is if people need boosters, and if they do, what's the appropriate timing of that booster vaccine. So we're involved in a European network called Vaccelerate, and UCD are leading on a trial which is specifically looking at the optimal timing of a booster vaccine. And it's a trial that we're leading across Europe, but there's four sites in Ireland that are in the Mater, St. Vincent's, St. James's and Beaumont Hospital that are currently recruiting. We're about to open a fifth site in Cork, and we're appealing for anyone who's worried about getting a vaccine or is a bit hesitant about getting a vaccine, if they want to get involved in research and actually contribute to answers, that we'd be very happy to provide them with information on the trial. And if they just want to email us at boostervac@ucd.ie for more information, we can provide them with more information. But I think contributing to research in this area is still vitally important, and it's great that Ireland are able to take a lead on this.
Professor Paddy Mallon, thank you for joining us. That email address again, boostervac@ucd.ie. Now, I want to speak to two school principals. We have Louise Tobin, principal at St. Joseph's National School in Tipperary Town, and Simon Lewis, principal of Carlow Educate Together National School. So, Louise, first to you. Do you have a high level of absent children today?
Good morning, Claire. So, we're all schools are open today, and in our school today we have 16% absent. Now, that's not too bad, I suppose. Look, usually it'd be about 10%, but I suppose if I compare it with the couple of days before Christmas, we had up to 27%, 25% for the 10 days before Christmas, which was very, very high at that point.
Mm-hmm. So it is a little bit better than it was before Christmas. Simon, what about you there in Carlow?
Hi, Claire. Very similar story. We're down about 13% today. But again, that's well up on just before the holidays. We were about 25% absence. So similar story there to Louise's school.
Louise, you can imagine it's difficult for parents. We've Paddy Mallon saying he can't understand why a parent would send a child to school when they're sick. I suppose one of the reasons they might send them is because they have to work themselves, and it can be difficult to manage that. Do you expect that parents will heed the advice from the CMO?
I think they will, Claire. I mean, in fairness, most parents are very, very aware of the school setting, and that, you know, infection does spread at school if you have a child in with symptoms. But, you know, sometimes symptoms don't develop till the child arrives at school or during the school day. But I suppose, there was a letter came out on the 7th of December, to schools. And we shared it with all parents, asking that any child with symptoms would be kept at home. So I suppose, yes, we, if a child does develop symptoms at school, we will contact the parents and the children will be sent home.
Right, okay. And Simon, you won't want to see staff in if they're unwell either, but that'll lead to a problem with filling that place at the top of the classroom.
Yeah, I mean, that's an ongoing problem that I suppose has been going on for well over 5 or 6 years now at this stage. And, you know, it is getting worse as the years go on, as our teacher crisis continues. I haven't had a day still this year where I haven't had at least one member of staff out with an illness of some sort. So it's, much like the hospital situation, staffing at schools is a major issue. And hopefully that will get resolved soon.
And Louise, there's a special grant in place, special supports for schools when it comes to COVID. And one of those payment amounts is for cleaning of the school, deep cleaning of the school. But it's not happening this year, or you don't have confirmation that you're getting it for this term, do you?
No, Claire. We received late notification in September to say we were getting the grant for term one. And it's the COVID cleaning grant and the PPE, but that was very clearly given for term one only. So as schools reopen today, we are sitting wondering, what is the story with this grant? Are we getting it for term two? And I suppose it is one of the very important preventative measures to ensure, the management of any illnesses in busy school classrooms, that we have the grant, the money to give our schools a deep clean every evening. And I suppose, in my mind, that's very, very important in the management of infection in schools.
So that pays for a couple of extra hours every day to clean the school?
Yeah, I suppose in our situation, it gave us a second cleaner every day for 10 hours a week, which, as you'll appreciate, does allow every desk in the school to be cleaned, all common areas, all toilet areas to be cleaned properly. And I suppose, to be honest, I think this enhanced cleaning should continue in schools into the foreseeable future, because, in busy school classrooms with up to 30 children, in a room, and maybe teacher and maybe an SNA. You know, they are busy, busy places. And if we want to control infection in these busy settings, then we need adequate daily cleaning.
All right. Waiting to hear whether you'll get that grant for this term. Louise Tobin in Tipperary Town and Simon Lewis in Carlow. Thank you both for joining us. Back after this quick break.
Text 51551. Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.